Today on Focal Point, from Pastor Mike Fabares.
We not only need to be gals deferential toward male headship, we need to be respectful of male headship. We need to be respectful of it. Because whatever else it means to honor headship and not dishonor it, I know it doesn't mean that I begrudge the leadership of men. It doesn't mean that I'm envious of the leadership of men. It doesn't mean that I compete for the leadership of men. It doesn't mean any of that.
Welcome to Focal Point. I'm your host, Dave Drewy, and I'm so glad you joined us today because we're talking about an issue that's extremely relevant in our day. As we continue our study through 1 Corinthians, Pastor Mike Fabares is addressing the issue of gender roles, and specifically what God expects from women. Now, if you missed the previous messages about what God expects from men, you can find them online at focalpointradio.org. But for now, let's dive in.
Studying this passage made me think about days long past when I used to do a little touring with a jazz band, believe it or not. I know that's hard to believe when I used to be kind of cool. But we used to open our sets up with this chart called Tuning Up, which I really liked because it started with this intentional chaos, this cacophony of noises that one might be used to hearing when they go to that kind of concert, when guys are just kind of pulling their horns out of the case and, just kind of getting ready, and just a din of noise and chaos. It was just all just chaotic. And that's how it intentionally began. And then out of that din of noise, there was this growing methodical transition into this driving blues riff. And it was just so fun to play because I'd always watch the crowd who they weren't anticipating it, and then they start to get it. Oh, something's happening. You know, this is starting to sound right, starting to sound good. There is a cacophonous and very sad Bible verse that is repeated at low points in biblical history. It's a verse that simply reads, "And so the people did whatever seemed right in their own eyes." And so the people did whatever seemed right in their own eyes. No deference for God, no real concern for His Word. Oh, we do want your help and give us your ticket to heaven, but kind of leave us alone when it comes to working out the details of life. We'll kind of figure this out on our own. And while that verse is appropriate for the low points in biblical history, it certainly is an appropriate commentary on the low points of church history. And I think that perhaps we're in one now, at least as it relates to the topic of our morning, the topic of gender roles, gender distinction. This is one area that most Christians would say, we'll just figure this one out on our own. Thank you very much. Appreciate your input, but when it comes down to it, we gotta sort this out and kind of make it work for us in our day. While that commentary is supposed to be a sad indictment on a generation, it seems that most modern Christians would think that's kind of sound doctrine. That's gospel truth. I mean, isn't that what we expect? Christians kind of look through the Bible, kind of figure this out, kind of come to their own conclusions, kind of do whatever seems best to them. Of course, God's answer is no, that's not what I had in mind. As a matter of fact, when people live that way and do whatever seems best to them, it creates, certainly from God's perspective, a certain din and chaos and cacophony of noise. What God is looking for, especially in controversial subjects like this, is Christians that have the backbone to stand up and say, we'll do what God has instructed. I think we'll find that when we do it God's way, we end up finding that there's a great harmony and melody that God produces in our own hearts. Because there's really nothing more fulfilling than figuring out God's plan, adapting my life to it, and watching God bring some tremendous peace and joy and fulfillment when we do it His way. And yet it's a challenge. Not just for us, it was a tremendous challenge for the Corinthians. So let's look sympathetically at this first generation set of Christians that struggled with some of the things that we have, again, in our day, seen as very difficult instructions. But let us start with the main and the heart and the center of the passage, which is at the front of the passage in verse number 3, where the Apostle Paul says, here's the principle. I want you to realize that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. Concern here is for us understanding some kind of paradigm about headship, which I understand is a bit of an archaic concept we don't talk about much, but an idea of authority, an idea of leadership. And the head of every woman is man. There is a distinctive role there that is to be understood and respected and adhered to. And the head of Christ is God, even in the Trinity, even in the Godhead. Two equals, equal worth, equal dignity, equal power. They are in a role relationship. Now, we talked about the leadership, and we summed up male headship with a word called leadership, and we try to define components of that. Today, we need to do the same thing, but we need to flip it around. What does it mean if I'm not a man, and if I'm going to respond to male headship? Well, look, if you would, at verse number 5. There is a cultural expression in verse number 5 when a woman in a position in a church does some kind of praying or some kind of prophesying, the idea of standing up in this large, small group kind of worship setting and giving some kind of exhortation or some kind of statement of this, that, and the other, because they don't have a Bible to preach from. There's not a guy that's exegeting the scriptures every week for them that they pay to do that. They're sharing these New Testament truths from oral tradition and from experience. And so when that's happening, she needs to have her head covered, because if it's uncovered, that cultural expression, more on that later. Look what it says in the middle of verse 5. She dishonors her head. And what was that? The head of every woman is man. You're dishonoring man when you do that. You're dishonoring male headship when you do that. So let's use the words of that text, flip it over, make it a positive, and say this is what we need to do. Regardless of the cultural expression, we need to do that. Do what? Number one on your outline. We need to, women, honor male headship. We need to honor male headship. Not dishonor it. We need to honor it. Honor it. What does that mean? I'm glad you asked. Let's talk about it. What does that mean? Well, we define male headship in a scenario in Ephesians 5, which elaborates on the concept. It would be good for us to go back there. But before we do, we want to give some respect to the arrangement by looking at 1 Corinthians 12. So turn to 1 Corinthians 12. When you look at 1 Corinthians 12, and we start talking about, okay, headship, male headship, female and feminine response to male headship, wow, I don't know if I like that arrangement. Well, let's look at 1 Corinthians 12. And as you turn there, I read this passage this week, and I thought of something I did about 2 months ago that was really out of character for me, something I'd never done before. And that was when we were on a little, like, 3-day vacation. We took a little break, took the kids. Carl and I, we all went out to the desert. And as we were kind of hanging out and trying to chill out, one of the first stops we make is trying to stock up on snacks. So we go to Target, and you know, I don't think I've ever spent more time in Target than I spent there that day. And we had no agenda, nothing on the schedule. We walked all the aisles of Target. My kids got to the toy aisle, and they're going nuts, right, doing all the stuff. And I'm looking, eye level is a whole rack of puzzles. Now, here's what I've never done before. I've never purchased a puzzle before. I've never put a puzzle together before. But I've heard that's what people do sometimes when they want to relax and hang out. And so I thought, I want to try that. So let's buy one. I realized they're like $4 at Target. I'm thinking, I can afford that. Let's buy a puzzle. And so I grabbed one that looked halfway interesting, and I brought it back to the place we were staying, and I spread it out on the kitchen table, and I said, I'm going to build a puzzle and be a normal, relaxing person. So here I go. I started building my puzzle. By the end of day one, I had the frame put together. I'm not stupid. I know those are the easiest ones to get. So I'm going to start with that. Build the frame. And I built the frame. I was feeling pretty darn good about life. Next day, I get up and I start working on the bottom. I'm going to try and put some of the bottom together. Well, about that time, my 5- and 6-year-old boys, they want to get in on this. This looks fun, Dad. We'd like to play. Can we do some of this? Now, my gut reaction was, no. This is my puzzle, and I don't want you messing it up. No. But of course, I want to be a good dad. I like to be Father of the Year. So I say, yeah, you can help. But here's the rule, okay? Matthew and John, here's the rule. if a puzzle piece is in place, don't take it out. You can put new puzzle pieces in and try and build on the puzzle, but what I've already put together, don't mess it up. Don't rearrange it. Don't say, I think that one goes here. If it's clipped into place, leave it alone. I don't want to wake up day 3 and have it, you know, I don't want to lose progress. I want to make progress. So careful. Leave things in place that are in place. Now build on it if you'd like, but don't move this around. Take a look at this text, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. That's precisely God's perspective on this thing. Role distinctions. Not just gender role distinctions, but role distinctions even in the body of Christ. But let's just look ahead. Verse 14. Now the body. This is the analogy he gives. Not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, this is obviously some hyperbolous analogy. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. The Bible says, even if it has that desire, it wouldn't fail to be a part of the body. It's a foot, and it's an important part, and it needs to be there, and it's helpful if it's in a sock and in a shoe. So that it needs to stay in its spot. Verse 18. In fact, here's the set of words I'd like you to underline. God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? Chaos. Cacophony, din, noise, 21st century evangelical Christianity when it comes to gender roles. It'd be chaos. God's arranged things the way he wants them, including gender roles. And if we don't care for the role that he's given us, all I can say is God wants this beautiful thing that he's arranged to be the way it is. And if we would just get our minds past this hump of what it means to kind of be free in some cultural definition. Let's just understand God's got a plan here. And when he puts the puzzle pieces together, he says to his kids, don't mess it up. Don't take pieces out and try and shove them where they don't belong. Leave things the way that's the way I'd like it to be. And so we look at the response, the complementary response to male headship. What is it? Here it is, the S word, Ephesians chapter 5. Now again, the context is marriage. Context in 1 Corinthians 11 is not marriage, it's the church. But it helps us understand some words we can grab onto because the analogies are exactly the same. So look carefully at this with me. Verse 22, wives. What's the next word? Oh, see, you don't even want to say it. Wives, submit. Submit to your husbands as to the Lord. Now, wait a minute, that's marriage. I'm not talking about, okay, keep reading. For the husband is the head. This is why it becomes a defining paradigm for us, because we have the same wording here. The head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he's the Savior. Verse 24. Now as the church, there's our word again, hupotasso. It's a word that it means deference. It means submission. I know carries so much baggage with you. So let's use the word deference. Deference means the same thing. Hupotasso. To yield willingly to the leadership of another. Now, the church submits to Christ, so wives ought to submit to their husbands in everything. Now, note this carefully. Please note this. Don't misquote me on this, okay? Please. The way submission and headship works out in a marriage looks different than the way it works out in a church. And it looks different in the church than the way it works out in the marketplace and in broader society. But the principle remains. And let's use the word deference because it doesn't carry the 18-wheeler truckload full of baggage that's been attached to it. Jot it down this way. Letter A, be deferential. I know that's hard to spell, but give it a shot. Be deferential. Be deferential. Deferential. What's that mean? To yield willingly to the leadership of another. That's what it means to be deferential. Well, that's so, so demoralizing. That's so lowly. That's just so doormat. I don't like it. Okay, look across again at verse number 3 in 1 Corinthians 11. Was Jesus a doormat? Was Jesus demoralized? No. And that's the paradigm. Jesus Christ, all-powerful, co-equal with the Father, willingly submits himself, shows deference to the headship of the Father in the Godhead, losing no value, no dignity, no power, no strength, no intelligence. He gives himself in terms of saying, I'll let you lead. I am committed to following your lead. So I will be deferential toward your leadership. That's all we're talking about. And I know what scares a lot of people. They say, well, you're telling me to be deferential toward male leadership? Is that what you're saying? You mean I got to put like some tape over my mouth and lock myself in the closet? Yeah, that's what I mean. That's what I'm getting at. It's exactly what I had in mind. If you're visiting, we've already lost you, I realize, but if you're not visiting, you know that as I teach through God's word, that's not what God's word says. That's not what we're asking you to do. What we're asking you to do is to agree that when the dust settles, opinions are shared, ideas are exchanged, that at the end of the day, we understand that when it comes to male headship in the church, male headship in the home, that we are saying, we'll give you the final word. That's what we're saying. It's a deference to yield to the leadership of another. Does that mean we do this all day? No, it doesn't mean that at all. But what it does mean is that we understand the distinctive and unique roles that God has called men and women to in the church and in the home, with some implication in society we can look at and touch on later. Ooh, deferential. Yeah, be deferential. Well, that's what it means to honor male headship. You know what else it means? Here's another verb that's often used in the scripture. Drop down to verse 33, as long as we're in that passage. It's very helpful. Ephesians 5, verse 33. However, each one of you must also love his wife as he loves himself. That's the other side from last week. Now look at this. And the wife must, here's a new word for us, different verb. What is it? Respect her husband. Now again, the context and how that respect is shown in the home is going to look a little different than it looks in the church, and will certainly look a little different than it looks in the world. But the idea is, here's a new word for us that's helpful, respect. Let's jot it down, letter B. We not only need to be, gals, deferential toward male headship, we need to be respectful of male headship. We need to be respectful of it. Because whatever else it means to honor headship and not dishonor it, I know it doesn't mean that I begrudge the leadership of men. It doesn't mean that I'm envious of the leadership of men. It doesn't mean that I compete for the leadership of men. It doesn't mean any of that. I know that's what the world tells you to do, but that's not what the Bible tells you to do. It tells you to be respectful of male leadership, particularly in the home, as it looks one way, and in the church, our passage in 1 Corinthians 11. There is a certain deference and a certain respect that goes with it, and some people struggle with it. Once we use the word submission or we use the word deference, a lot of people are instantly saying, I can't do that, and they struggle. Or some will say, I just want to be a Christian, a godly Christian, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to bite the bullet and I'm going to really try to do this. And all I'm saying is, that's not the idea. It's got to go beyond that. That reminds me of the little boy. Remember, I've used this illustration many times. Little boy in school has been told to sit down like 20 times, and finally he does sit down, and he tells the teacher, I may be sitting on the outside, but I'm standing on the inside. That's not the idea here. The idea is to get the outside and the inside together to where we say, I will respect male leadership, even when sometimes the person that occupies that position is not acting all that respectful. Wives, do you understand what that's about? They don't always act like they've earned it. They don't always act like they deserve it. But do you know the words here, phobeomai and hupotasso, for respect and submission, are also words that the Apostle Paul uses when he talks to all Christians, men and women, as to how they're to relate to the king? Do you know who the king of the day was when Peter was writing his letters? Nero. What was he doing? Burning Christians at the stake. He wasn't a very respectable man, but Peter said, listen, there needs to be a certain respect and deference toward the king because he is the king and God has put him in that position. All it means ultimately is an attitudinal adjustment of respect and deference toward that. Sometimes there's change. Sometimes there's need for change. Sometimes there's campaigns for change. Sometimes there's strong statements of change. But the idea is let the underlining foundational attitudinal adjustment be, I am going to show deference toward the leader because of God's position that he's placed him in, and I'm going to show respect for that leadership position, even sometimes when the person doesn't seem all that respectable. Now, some gals are going, I can't do that. Two things to check in your heart, gals, if you're saying, I can't respect male leadership. Two things to check. One is check your relationship with your dad. And I don't mean to get too psychological, and we're not going to talk about bedwetting next or anything, but I'm just telling you, look at your relationship with your dad. And I find that some women have this misandry attitude. That was a new vocabulary word from last week, right? This contempt for men because they learned it young. They learned it at home. And they have no respect for their dad. They never did. And for oftentimes good reason, because their dad was a buffoon or whatever. And they struggle with a contempt for male leadership in any arena of life because they cannot get over this disrespect they have for their father. And I always find this to be fairly consistent when someone has got this real disrespect and contempt for their dad, maybe for good reason. I always know what kind of attitudinal problems they're going to have with that chip on their shoulder about male leadership in the local church, just being a pastor. I sometimes on the receiving end of that. And the connection's often there. And all I'm saying is, go back and figure this out and put this aside and realize your dad was your dad or whatever happened there, but set it aside and recognize that's no excuse for us not doing what God has called us to do here. And that is honoring male headship as a general principle. We honor it. We respect it. And we say we're going to embrace that because God wants us to. So maybe you've got a little misandry in your past because of some disaster in your upbringing. Here's another one, though. I like to call it the Diotrephes spirit. Maybe you got the Diotrephes spirit, which is a moral problem that doesn't relate to the hatred of men. Diotrephes is a guy in the scripture we learn about in like two verses in 3 John. And in 3 John, verse number 9, it's a little one-chapter book, 3 John, verse 9, he's described this way, a way you don't want to be described in an epistle of the New Testament. He's described as a man who always wants to be first. Always wants to be first. He's got a power deal going on. He's got a moral defect that makes him want to always be at the front, in the spotlight, wants to be first. Now, some gals struggle with honoring male headship, specifically with deference and respect, because their concern or their problem is not a hatred of men or a contempt for men. It's a real contempt for any authority over them. They don't want any authority. They don't want anybody telling them what to do. They've got a general disrespect for leaders in their lives, whether they're women or men. They don't like their boss, their supervisor. They don't care for the law or the cops or their pastors or anybody because they just don't like authority. They got the Diotrephes spirit. I want to be in charge. I want to be first. So anytime God says, okay, headship, arrangements, someone leads in the dance, someone follows, they're going, I can't handle that. Not because I hate men. I just can't stand leadership. I don't get along with authority figures. And I'm just saying, search your heart, gals. If this to you is like, wow, I might sit on the outside, but I'm going to always be standing on the inside. Check your heart. Maybe there's some reform God wants to do in your heart as it relates to one of those two issues. Search it out. Look at it carefully. Don't want either one of those.
Well, regardless of our gender, we all should be checking our hearts regularly to make sure we're submitting to God's will. And that's the challenge for each of us today. You're listening to Focal Point and the continuation of a series by Pastor Mike Fabares called Your Gender Matters to God. Now, if you missed the first few messages about what God expects from men, or if you'd like to revisit today's study on what God expects from women, be sure to visit focalpointradio.org or download the free Focal Point mobile app. We're always looking for more ways to provide Pastor Mike's teaching to you, and it's possible thanks to the support of your fellow listeners. Focal Point depends on a lot of people coming together and doing what they can. Whether it's $20 or $2,000, every penny makes a difference. To say thanks for your support today, we've picked out a fantastic book we'd like to send you, addressing some really pressing and timely subjects. It's titled Love Thy Body by author and apologist Nancy Piercy. From transgenderism to abortion, many of the secular worldviews being touted today claim to set us free and give us greater autonomy. But in our quest for freedom, have we actually robbed ourselves of human dignity? Nancy Piercy explores these issues with thoughtfulness and compassion, offering a holistic view of what it truly means to love your body as God intended. If you've wrestled with these questions and struggled to find loving answers for friends and family who take a different approach, we highly recommend this thoughtful resource. And we'll send you a copy today with our thanks for your support. Ask for the book Love Thy Body when you donate today by calling 888-320-5885. That's 888-320-5885. Or donate online at focalpointradio.org. Well, I'm Dave Drewy, so glad to have you along. And be sure to come back again Thursday when we'll continue talking about God's design for gender. Right here on Focal Point.
Pastor Mike here. You know, it's an honor to be with you every day, helping you explore the depths of Scripture. But I want to be clear, no amount of Bible knowledge is ever going to save you. be sure where you stand with God. Get in touch with us. We'd love to pray with you and for you. Visit us today at focalpointradio.org. We look forward to hearing from you.
Today's program was produced and sponsored by Focal Point Ministries.